Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Would you please stand? I'd like to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. I'd like to turn your attention to Isaiah, the 55th chapter. God has been dealing with me concerning this message for the last several days. I mentioned it yesterday morning. Isaiah 55, starting in verse number 1, it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Therefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not, hearkeneth diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and a nation that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Seek him while he can be found. You know, I said to somebody this week, I said, God has a revival planned, and it's out of our hands. There's going to happen something that is going to cause people to want to seek God. But they're not just going to go any place. They're going to go to a place that, well, they know there's power. They know that something can happen, something miraculous. And then if you go to Revelation, the 21st chapter, verse number 6, it says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." And then chapter 22 and verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God, Lord, that there'd be a special anointing, not only on this pulpit, but every individual. God, that it would accomplish exactly what you would have it accomplish. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was thinking yesterday as I was putting this message together, a number of years ago, I talked about how this world isn't quite as thirsty for God as it should be, and God says that we are the salt of the earth, and somehow it is our obligation to cause people to become thirsty for the things of God, by the things that we say and by the things that we do and that we experience. And I remember taking a whole bundle of saltine crackers and giving them to people within the congregation. And after about 15 minutes, I started drinking water up here. But everybody was out there without water, and they were looking for something to quench the thirst. Could you shut that fan off up here, please? I saw my doctor on Thursday. And he is a very thorough doctor. His name is Dr. Paul Durbin. And he said, after having my blood tests, by the way, the nurse that took my blood was trained in Auschwitz concentration camp. And he said, after looking at the tests, everything is go, all systems go. I should make it another year unless I don't pay my bill. On his wall is a large article from the Racine Journal Times from the year 2010. And then there is a plaque that's above the article, and it says, "The Beast Doctor of Racine." And what happened is the paper, in 2010 through 2014, rated him as the best doctor in Racine, but they misspelled best to make it beast. And so he's got this plaque and a copy of the article on his wall, "The Beast Doctor of Racine." And I said, so what are you, the best doctor or are you the beast doctor? And he said, it all depends on who you talk to, you know. Last week, someone came up to me and said, you know, Pastor, you're the best pastor. But again, it all depends on who you talk to and what the message is all about, you see. We'll see after this message. I said after yesterday morning prayer, I don't have to set my alarm 4, 5, or 6 times a day in order to remind me that I need to have a drink of water or something to quench my thirst. We realize that there is an incredible gift that God gives us that prompts us when our body needs to be refreshed. We just automatically go to the refrigerator or go to the sink and get a glass of water because we realize inside there's something that says, you know what, I need water. I'm thirsty. I need to be refreshed. And so we have this inner prompting to drink and eat, maybe not such a blessing with the eating part, but thank God, otherwise many of us would continue to be preoccupied with life and never stop in order to get refreshed and get what we need in order to survive. And this could mean serious problems with our health that could even cause death from some dehydration. Yet, what if we didn't have regular promptings from the Holy Ghost in order to get refreshed? What if there wasn't anything? What if we were a lot of like people who I see every day who are just driving down the road and doing their thing, but there is no prompting whatsoever in order to get some kind of refreshing from God for eternal life? You see, it's one thing to be converted and have our sins blotted out. One thing to be filled with the Holy Ghost. One thing to be baptized in Jesus' name. But then there must be times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord in order to survive. Otherwise, we die of dehydration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And all of a sudden, you know, that they used to sit right over there. But there wasn't enough prompting in order to get a refreshing. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts, the 3rd chapter, please. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." So there has to be a conversion for everybody. "That your sins may be blotted out." And we know how that happens in baptism. "When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So yes, we have to have a repentance, a dying. We have to have a conversion. We have to have our sins blotted out. But there have to be times of refreshing in the Lord in order to continue in God. The word refreshing in the Greek is to recover our breath. It's what we're doing this morning. We're recovering. We're catching our breath, but we're catching the breath of God within us and causing us to be refreshed whatsoever. The words Holy Ghost means the breath of God. He breathed life within us in order to become that spiritual entity. And we recover that by being in the presence of God. Here's where I transition from the best pastor to the beast pastor. How can you be refreshed if you don't come to church and get into the presence of God? Amen. You see, Now, you might think a good parent is let every kid do whatever they want. You know, you make your own decisions. It doesn't matter when you come home. It doesn't matter who, what friends you're out with. It doesn't matter what you eat. Did you want chocolate cake for breakfast? You know, that might seem like a good dad and mom, but in the end, it's not. Would you turn to Psalms 84? Psalms chapter 84, and starting in verse number 7, it says, they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. So we go from strength to strength, how? By appearing before God in Zion, or a place where we can worship God. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So we find from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. The strength and refreshing comes only by appearing before God. In the Old Testament, it was a law that you had to appear before the Lord and you had to bring some kind of offering. Well, we brought an offering to God. The thing that he loves the most is our worship, our adoration of him. We can't just come and sit down and expect that we're going to be refreshed without giving God something. As it said in Acts 3 and 19, a refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. This is not a relationship by proxy. Amen. You know, you can't send your attorney to appear for you. You can't send your husband. You can't send your wife. You go to church and everything will be all right with the family. No, it is up to the individual to appear before the Lord. God is looking for each of us to come before him with singing, an offering of a sacrifice of praise. You see, the greatest freedom and liberty that we have in life is when we're in his presence. You know, and I know a lot of people think that there's great liberty when you don't have to depend on anybody else for financial gain or anybody else for anything else. But the real liberty is when you're feeling the presence of God and know that God is well pleased with you. If you felt something here this morning, you know that God is well pleased with you for appearing before his presence. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 17. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, now look at this, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we're changed. Every time we walk into the house of God, we are changed into the image and take on the attributes and have the mind of God when we leave here, more so than before we ever came, because the only time we can be changed or converted or become more like him is to be more in the presence of God. It can't be done by reading this book. It's not done by listening to tapes. It's done by getting in the presence of God. Amen. We're reestablished. Amen. As a saint from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. The word glory here means the manifestation of God's presence. Conversely, how can we be changed to what pleases God without appearing before the Lord? And that's why God has established a desire or a thirst within us for more of God. You know, you get the Holy Ghost, and I can't tell you how many new converts have said right after they got the Holy Ghost, why don't we have church more often? This whole place is open for Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Why aren't we having more church? Why? Because they are so thirsty. They want more of God. How could it be that we're in the church for 30 years and now all of a sudden we're content with less church? The beast is coming out. But isn't it true, folks? God hasn't changed. Why should the church change in any way? I know that there is a void that God created in each and every one of us that cannot be satisfied with anything but the Shekinah glory, the presence of God in our lives. And it spills over from church services to in the car to while you're grocery shopping, by ladies, when you're ironing or whatever we're doing on the job. We are feeling the presence of God because there's this constant thirst. I got to have more of God. You know, and a car won't do that, a house won't do it, a spouse won't do it, a career won't do it. None of that will satisfy you. But in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. How do I get to the right hand of God? There are a lot of miserable people in this world who have everything, but they don't have God. I know several of them. So God prompts people with a thirst for him if they just get a little taste by the way of a church service, a testimony, somebody's witness. You know, these fanatical people kept asking me to come to church over and over and over again. And I thought, I'm just going to appease them. I'll come, and then I can say I went and I didn't like it. But I got a taste. And once you get a taste of something good, something supernatural, I can't go back to the old church. I can't go back to my old ways. I can't go back to where I was dry and dead and lifeless. I had to get someplace where there was an oasis. And church is an oasis. It's a place of refreshing. I don't feel very spiritual. Well, get me to church. Hallelujah. I've got problems. Well, get me to the oasis. It's one thing to hear about the water or even feel the presence of God in a church service, but it's another thing to be filled with the Spirit of God. Shortly after coming into our first church service, and my wife and I were baptized in Jesus' name, I think it was maybe 3 weeks after we came to our first service, and my wife was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now listen, this is not a criticism, but my wife didn't want to come to the church after the first service. It was me. And I don't know what caused me. I guess God was dealing with me for months before we ever got to that place. But then she comes, she gets the Holy Ghost. You know, here I am, the one who initiated this whole thing, and I didn't get the Holy Ghost. And people were coming up to me and said, well, I bet you feel bad about that. I said, no, it is a promise. I know that I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. Well, about 4 weeks later, and really, folks, the reason God didn't give me the Holy Ghost that day is he needed to teach me something. I had to get beyond my sophistication. I had to get to the place where I was willing to come down to an altar and let snot run from my nose and tears run from my eyes and learn how to worship God without worrying about anybody else who saw me or what they cared about me. It was all between him and me, him and me. Hallelujah. And so I'm grateful for those numbers of weeks that, well, you know, I was seeking for the Holy Ghost. I knew it was going to happen, you know, although some who come in think it can happen to everybody else, but it'll never happen to them until it happens to them. And I remember going with about 15 saints up to Green Lake, Wisconsin to a cross-country ski trip. And they all prayed in the, we're all in this great big mansion, and We had Bible studies while we were there in worship service and prayed. And of all of the people, I was the only one who didn't have the Holy Ghost. I felt like a brown shoe at a tuxedo convention. And so I was skiing down those hills, worshiping God, thinking, oh God, this is going to be so good. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost right on the ski slope. Wouldn't that be great? You know, I can go back and tell him, I got it. I've got it. But it didn't happen. But I remember a week after, I was just sitting in the pew and the choir was singing. And there was this one sister who was singing. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came over her. And I remember seeing her lips just quiver and tremble. And when her lips started to quiver, my lips started to quiver. And I thought, this is it, man. Get me on the launch pad. And so I just came out of that pew and went to the altar, you know. And as I took in a breath and expelled it, these words came out like I had never learned before. I turned around, there must have been 40 people, you know, praying for me because I was one of those hard cases. But it was all about me and him. God was ready. God's ready this morning to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. It's not like you have to do anything to prepare except worship God. Get a little thirsty. Say, this is the morning. I'm going to get it. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. We all have our experiences. Just as they did at the beginning of the day of Pentecost, when we finally got so thirsty that we ran to the water that sprang up to give us everlasting joy and a future. Not just a form of godliness, not a book report on what happened on the day of Pentecost. Amen. I've said this a number of times. We were in Jerusalem, went to the upper room, and we were all Pentecostals. They're all pastors and ministers, and we were in this upper room, and the guide was telling us about the day of Pentecost. Well, they weren't going to tell us about the day of Pentecost because we were the day of Pentecost, and we started worshiping God and speaking in other tongues, and another group started coming through the door, and the guide was there and said, just like that. Glory to God. And that's the way it should be. There should be people who read in the book and then they come in and they say, just like that, the same experience. It's our birthday, folks. Hallelujah. Sir, give me this water, this living water, that I may thirst no more. Takes away my thirst for things of this world that haven't satisfied in the first place. We work ourselves to death trying to get happy. And then God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on. Well, you know, cars, houses, not necessarily, but something that will satisfy us. So we don't get to the place where we're envious of somebody next to us or somebody across the street from us. We're just happy. We're just happy. You remember that day? It could happen to somebody this morning. Amen. It's not a one-time stop at the well of living water. Amen. My Bible tells me that I need to keep drinking. Amen. Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore, with joy shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation. And that's why, you know, we should have signs everywhere in the church. No grumpy saints. You know, happy people are welcome. And, you know, there's no reason not to be happy in the presence.